I just want to declare right now, you are his net. You are his net. Amen. You are his net. And it's got to be cast on the right side. There's two ways of looking at that. It can be cast on the right side or the left side, or the right side or the wrong side. But God is not a God, left-handed God. In fact, left-handedness, biblically, speaks of trials and tests. So if they were casting the net on the right side, they must have been casting the net on the left side. Hallelujah. Are you confused already? Praise the Lord. So I really believe that before even a fisherman casts the net in the waters, he's got to wash it, he's got to repair it, he's got to mend it, and he's got to keep it pliable enough. He's got to clean it so no rubbish in it can hinder the catch. Amen. You're the net that God wants to use. He will wash you. He will mend you. And if you ever look at a net, it is intertwined one with another. Hooked, linked, to make it complete. Hallelujah. So when God mends the net, he mends people. People with people. Can I hear an amen? One of the greatest strains of a net is when someone unlinks or breaks the link. Amen? When the net snaps from duress or stress or whatever it is, or from another object that shouldn't be there. But as Christians, we'll call them things that snap, that break, that duress. Can be unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, envy, strife, all the works of the flesh, which will cause it to break. But God will mend the net. To mend the net, he might have to mend you and I. Are you ready for mending this morning? Are you ready to be washed first? He will wash you, amen, with the water of the word until you are pliable enough to be mended, amen. If you leave it just covered in the works of the things that it needs to do, it gets stiff, it gets unpliable, it gets rigid. And the last thing God needs is rigid Christians. He needs them pliable in his hands so in the end time harvest, you can be used to see a people brought into the kingdom of God. Who believes that? Who believes in a revival? Who believes that God wants to not just restore the church, but wants to use the church in the last days to bring a harvest in for the glory of the kingdom of God? Amen? But why would he use a church that is as broken as those who are outside? He needs it mended. He needs it not just full of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, Shundarin, Bahundian, Suzukian, Mitsubishian, all that stuff. He doesn't just need that. He doesn't need you just to have a fuzz and a buzz and be laid out. He doesn't just need that. He wants you proactive in the earth today to be the true salt and the true light that people might be one to him. Amen? That is the whole great commission, is to win people to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? So we are that net. And before I go any further, we're going to pray. Father, we just thank you for your glory this morning. We ask you in the name of Jesus, minister to us. Lord, give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. Give us a heart to receive, Father, what you desire to do in the midst of us. God, we are here this morning, Lord, and we ask you, Father, if anything needs mending in me, mend me. Lord, change me. Shape me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 21. Book of John, chapter 21, verses 1 to 10. New King James. It says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. He had already showed himself twice before. This is the third time he had showed himself. At the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin. Thomas called the twin. Does anyone know whose name Thomas's brother is? Never says. What does Thomas mean? Doubter. Thomas has got lots of twins. Everyone else who doubts. Amen. They're everywhere. They're still alive today. Side note. Thomas called the twin Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the son of Zebedee, the two brothers of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. Isn't it amazing when things don't turn out in your life the way you expect them to turn out? Are the pattern that you'd think that God is going to use, because he thought the kingdom of God was about to come, they're going to get delivered from the Romans, that he's going to establish his kingdom authority on earth, the kingdom of heaven, and everything will be sweet by and by. But it never happened. They killed him. Amen? And so what happened was, Paul resorted to the thing that he knew. And when trouble starts in someone's life, including my own, I don't think anyone's exempt, to be honest, we usually resort back to what we particularly know well. He knew fishing. Well, he was a fisherman. He knew, not fishers of men at the time, but fishermen. He knew that way well. And it's amazing, you know, when things aren't going well spiritually, you try your hardest physically. You lock into something. Take your mind off something. Peter did the same thing. He set out on a boat to go fishing. He became in a little isolated island all by himself, pondering upon what God had said and what Jesus had declared, seeing God Jesus twice before, seeing even the tidbits of what Jesus was telling him, him walking through a room and a wall, understanding all that, but nothing still was happening. He thought something should have happened by now, and he got a bit tired of it, so he went fishing. It's amazing in our lives when we think and expect God to do something, to move, and nothing happens. We go back to the normality, and sometimes in the midst of it, we'll get in our own little boat and isolate ourselves from the rest of the crowd because it ain't happening to me. Others it might have happened, they might have had a revelation, but I have not got that revelation yet. And therefore, I'll go and do what I think I should do. It's amazing when trouble comes, doubt comes, our despondency comes, we go to our little so-called island. Our little islands. Anyone ever been on their own little island? With you, yourself, and I? Finding company with the triune being? Hey? That you all three will agree as one? Hallelujah. Soul, body, and spirit agreeing that everyone else is wrong but you. So we go in these little island syndromes in our head, these little island thought patterns in our lives, and we become isolated. And what happens on your island thinking, the island mentality is this, that the devil gets you isolated because he wants you to start thinking that you're the only one. It's all just happening to you. And if he can get you isolated from the rest of the community, what happens is he can work on you. You've got to understand that the devil has a plan against your life. Who believes that? There's a strategy out there with your name on it. He wants you to be defeated. He wants you not to succeed. He wants you to be that person that knows of Jesus, but not knows Jesus. Hallelujah. But who knows, in the world today, there's floating islands. Islands that actually float. And these floating islands, and this is what happens to us, these little floating islands turn with the current and the tide of life. And they want you to see the perspective of people from every angle. The devil will make sure you see everything about someone, not just something. Hallelujah. He wants to bring such discourse and division that he will isolate you. He will get you on your island. He will cause that island to spin so you can see everything. Like things like this. I told you there was something more about that person. And so we start thinking and doing and acting where we shouldn't act. Whether it's trust being broken, whether it's pain of a failure, whether it's you feeling God's let you down or usually it's not God let you down, it's people that let you down. And so you isolate yourself from people, you isolate yourself from things that people do because of your pain. And all of a sudden, the net is broken. The net's broken. How do I get rid of this isolation? How do I get off my island? And if you've ever experienced it, I've experienced an island. I've experienced island mentality. In fact, I quite enjoyed it, to be honest, because I only had to answer to myself. But it does bring a critical spirit, a very critical spirit. How do I get off this island? If I've experienced pain or suffering, if I've experienced brokenness, if I've experienced hurt, or if I've experienced trust being broken or abused, if I've experienced people letting me down, if I've experienced just in general life with people hard, how do I get off this island? Trust the Lord. I want to say that again. Trust the Lord. Because the minute you keep trusting people, they can let you down. I'm not saying you can't trust people, but initially, to get off your island, trust the Lord. Amen? And allow the rapport of people in trust to build. But Jesus does not want you on an island. Peter was on this ship. He toiled all night. Caught, how much did he catch? Nothing. Because in your midnight hour, in your season of night, amen, in your anyone experienced the night season? In your season of night, you can be toiling, hoping that God will do something, working at what you believe you should be doing, and nothing's happening. Nothing. Daylight comes. I want to tell you something. Your night season will only last a period of time. You and I have got to be faithful in our night season to see breakthrough. Night season ends. The morning comes. Jesus is at the shore. He calls him son. Did he call him son? I think he did. Calls him children. Another translation says friends. I want to tell you, when there's an emptiness inside of you and there's a new season in your life coming, and there is a new season, a day season, a morning season, because his mercies are new every morning, there will be a time of mercy for you, connected to you. There is someone waiting for you at the shore. And even though you might come to him empty, and they were empty, he's still there. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what you're experiencing. I don't care how empty you might feel or connected you might feel. He is there. And when he said this to them, he said this. He says, cast your net on the right side. So in their night season, if you allow me to think like this, if your night season, you've been casting your net on the wrong side. You've been casting your net on the left or the wrong side. The wrong side of wrong attitude. Wrong words coming out of your mouth. Wrong living. Wrong. Nothing's happening. On the left side, the trials and the tests, where God expects you to stay faithful in that. Staying strong in him. And I've allowed the night season to keep speaking to me. Speaking to me, taking away my hope, taking away my joy, taking away my peace, even taking away my intimacy, wanting to be right when you're on the wrong side. Hallelujah. Jesus tells them, let's read it, because I'm telling you the whole story. I'm going fishing, but then the morning they had come, Jesus stood in the shore, yet his disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children or friends, have you any food? They answered him, no. They were hungry. You got anything? No. See, your efforts and my efforts will never gather anything. It has to be the work of God. Next one, please. And he said to them, cast the net on the what? Where am I casting my net? Where am I casting my net? Cast your dice right out of the boat and you shall find what? Some. Write this down if you need to, but I think it's a great revelation. His sum is more than enough. I want to say it again. He didn't say, be filled. He said, some. Yet his sum is more than enough. Hallelujah. If you need some grace, his sum is more than enough. If you need some mercy, his sum is more than enough. Whatever you need, his sum is more than enough. Cast your net on the right side and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. What he did was this. He said, if you obey me. They didn't have to. He said, cast it on the right. They didn't have to. They might say, Peter, mean I like the people in the Bible to be my friends. Peter, to me, was like a stubborn mule. He was a sort of guy that would say, I know you said that, but I want to try this. I know you said that, but, you know, like, I'm the person, he's the sort of person that says, don't touch the fire. Guess what Peter would do? He'd touch the fire. He just wanted to make sure that, you know, what you're saying is true. That's the sort of bloke he is, right? So he was obedient. Obedience brings fruitfulness. I want to say that again. Obedience brings fruitfulness. Hallelujah. Whether you like it or whether you don't, whether you agree with God or you don't, if you're obedient to God, it will bring fruitfulness. Hallelujah. But if you stick to your island and you refuse to trust Him and you refuse to build that bridge with others to reconnect to those who are on the land, were on the steadfastness of God and upon the word, because the floating island, there's no substance to it. There's no substance to it. Most of the thing on the island is telling you this, how you feel and what you think and what you should do. It's all the soul speaking to you. But when I get my feet upon the rock and allow the truth to minister to me, hallelujah, and trust Him in it, He'll bring the change. And it'll bring the fruitfulness in my life. And I really believe God is above all things, is challenging His church to be fruitful in this hour, to get their nets mended with one another so they can walk the walk and not just talk the talk. The world is sick and tired of talk the talk. What it needs is a people that are walking the walk and showing forth the fruitfulness of the Spirit of God. And that means sometimes I have to humble myself and say, God, you're right, I'm wrong. Has God ever made a mistake? I can't hear you. No, He's never made a mistake. Has God ever done anything wrong? No. If He did, He's not God. He is God. He is right. I am wrong. Less of me, more of Him. Hallelujah. Therefore, the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now, Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord. He put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. He plunged into the sea. Do you know there's two types of Christians in worship? Do you remember when Jesus was going into Jerusalem and the people cut down the palm leaves and laid it before the Lord, the Master, and his little colt went across him? But some also cut off their what? Tunics. And they threw it down before Him. Because the tunics cost something. But palm leaves are free. Palm leaves look good. Palm leaves look nice and big. But they don't cost you anything. He wants me to cast down my life before Him. The other disciples came in a little boat and they were not far from the land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals, and there they laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Jesus expects you to bring something to him. Hear me. Jesus has got you on earth to bring something to him. Your worship is number one. But we have to be fruitful in this kingdom. Amen. We must be fruitful. We must. And if you're a married man or a married woman, he expects you and your house. You can't save them. He expects you to tell them. Next one, please. Psalm 1 to 4. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. I'm going to say that again. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Do you know you can't have ungodly people with you every day of your life? Your soul and your flesh. And he does not expect me to walk in the counsel of my soul and my flesh. He expects me to walk under the counsel of the Spirit of God. Your soul will speak to you lies, how it feels, how it thinks. Your flesh is in continuous rebellion against God. It's unrighteous. It's ungodly. It will be changed. You will get a new one. Your soul will be saved. Amen. Do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners. And that's what the path of sinners is. Ungodliness. So when I'm gossiping against someone, when I'm backbiting against someone, when I'm not doing the right thing with someone, he expects me to get into a place to mend my net. Hallelujah. Lamentations 3, 22, 24. Though through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His compassions are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness towards us. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, my hope will be in who? My hope must be in him. My hope must be not in things, not in strategies, not in your husband, not in your wife, not in your friends, not in your knowledge. It has to be in him. Another aspect of cleaning our nets is to get rid of the past failures. Past failures, if you allow them things to constantly get around your soul, past failures will have a voice. They will speak to you. They will constantly try and condemn you and show your failure. Where God says his mercies on you when? You have an opportunity to renew your mind every moment and every morning of the day. I choose this day. That should be our prayer. I choose this day to walk in what God has designed and prepared for my life today. Yesterday is over. I cannot change yesterday. Yesterday will have no bearing on my life, because my future is determined on how I walk today. Do you believe that? Do you believe you're the prophet of your tomorrow? You're your own prophet. You don't need a word from a prophet every time if you need to get direction from God. Just walk the walk. You'll get direction. Walk the walk. Be who he called you to be. Walk how he determined for your life. Some of the greatest breakages in nets is in the own family home. I'm talking corporately now, but it starts in the house. Everything starts in the house. The whole kingdom of God is based on family. So if there's schisms and divisions amongst me and my beloved, but she's never wrong, so she's all right. She's perfect in all of her ways. When there's schisms and divisions in the house, there's the nets being broken. And what happens when the net's broken and we're asking God for fruitfulness? We're going through a night season. We better both get together and start to pray before the morning. It says, let not your wrath go down with the sun. Sort it out so you can get the mercies fresh flowing in your life and your marriage in the morning. So there can be fruitfulness. And the children get up and guess what they see? Unity. Unity. Oneness of heart. Oneness of vision. Unity. And the whole purpose is unity. And it was great that the Lord mentioned this in the prayer room. He desires a unity that cannot be what? Broken. And if the net needs mending, fix it. Because until it's not fixed, it cannot be used. Hallelujah. Another aspect of cleaning the nets is to get rid of the past failures, fears, and disappointments we've accumulated. Does anyone know what I'm talking about like that? Has anyone ever accumulated past failures and fears? Next one, please. Have I got any more? Yeah. Psalm 133, verse 1 to 3. Says this, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren. For brethren. And I put in brackets, husbands and wives. To dwell together in unity. For it is like the precious oil upon the head and the anointing running down on the beard of Aaron. Running down to the edge of the garments, his body, which represents his family. It is like the dew of Hermon, which brings refreshing and reviving. You want to see something move in your house? Walk in unity. You want to see something established in your home? Walk in unity. If you're not married here this morning, your husband's the Lord. Hear me, he's the Lord. He wants to be in perfect unity with you. It is like dew of Hermon descending from the mountains of Zion. Speaks of life and growth. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life evermore. Jesus has come to bring me life and life more. Do you believe that? It comes out of a place of unity. It comes out of a place of oneness and wholeness. Amen. Are you prepared for the Master's hand to mend the net in your life? That's a question you have to ask yourself. Am I prepared to let the Master get what he needs to get out of me and put what he needs to put into me to bring unity? To see the blessing flow. To see the life forevermore flow. To see my body soaked in the anointing of God. My family. My life. Unity releases an anointing. I want to say that again. Unity releases in your house an anointing. It causes the oil to flow from heaven upon the head, down the beard, across the garment, off the hem of the garment. And it will even bless and anoint your walk. Am I prepared for the Master's hand to mend the net in my life, to walk in the unity of the brethren, start in my own home to see the oil flow? Who wants fresh oil to flow in their house? He's waiting to send you on the right side so you can reap, receive, and catch with the net those whom he draws. And he will give you the strength to do it on the right side. Do you believe that? The anointing will equip you. The anointing will equip you to be what you need to be in this hour. The anointing will equip you to be the man or the woman, the husband or the wife that you need to be in this hour. Because the world, your marriage, my marriage, your marriage is the 67th book of the Bible. A book that should be able to be read by all men. So when I'm loving her like Christ loves her, and she's submitting to me out of an act of love. Give me five. I thought that would stir you up. And she's submitting me out of an act of love because he first has to what? Love her. By how? as Christ loves the church. How did Christ love the church? He died. He died. He died. As she sees that death, there will be a resurrection of life in her that she can learn to trust me and love me and surrender and submit to me as an act of love. Amen. That's only available if you want unity. God will sort the church. But he expects you to sort your house. Are we still breathing? Are we okay? Is this good? This is good stuff, isn't it? Hey, this is fresh meat. He's waiting to send you. Do you know everyone here that's got breath? Has got breath for a reason. Because if it was finished with you, you wouldn't be here. Serious. If he was finished with you, you wouldn't be here. But he's not finished. And I don't know about you, but why I want to be part of that net that he gathers the harvest in this last hour like never before. And if he has to mend me, so be it. If he has to fix something, so be it. Amen. We cry out to be the salt and the light to the earth. Lord, here I am, use me. We want the glory of the use, but we forget there's a huge preparation to the net before it's even used. A washing. How's your reading going? How's your Bible reading going? Washing of the water by the Word of God. How's your prayer life? How's your 8 o'clock prayer life? Have we allowed that to slip? That prayer time is for unity of the brethren. It's building us. Please, remind yourself to keep doing it. Until he tells us to stop. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Do you know, over the years as a pastor, you hear so many excuses and reasons why people don't. And they say things like this. I got hurt because God did. But God hasn't. I got hurt because God. I want to quickly ratify something here this morning. God has never hurt you. I want you to anchor that in your heart. God has never, ever hurt you. If you've been disappointed in him, it's your disappointment. If he hasn't given you what you think you need, you don't need it. If he hasn't done what you expect him to do, he mightn't do it. And it's all for your good. God never hurts anyone. Most of the hurt in the body of Christ is through people. You can say amen very softly under your breath. It's amen. Because he will use imperfect people, just like me, to make you come perfect in him. Their imperfections could be the sandpaper in your life to rub you up the wrong way. And he will keep rubbing till that grain of resistance is out of you and you flow with him. Hello, just ask Israel in the wilderness. He will keep it happening until there's a changing new. And if I want to see fruitfulness and I want to see fresh oil, I better get in unity with the brethren and unity in my house. Hallelujah. I can't afford any schisms and divisions. Not because I don't like them. It's because I don't want to be robbed. Amen. You are part and I am part of an end time harvest. And I really believe in this hour that God is going to place on people's lives words of encouragement, words of exhortation, words of affirmation in people that you can speak into their life. You can speak into their life. That you can bring a revelation to them that God is real. He's going to cause you to stretch out your hands in love. He's going to make your heart move by compassion. You know, Jesus was moved by compassion. He's going to make things happen and flow through your life. Because out of your belly should flow rivers of what? Living waters. Virtue might flow through you to the woman that has an issue of blood. Leviticus 17:11 says this, life is in the... She was losing life. She wasn't just hemorrhaging. She was losing life. And immediately she touched the hem of the garment. It dried up. He wants to use you in this hour and me in this hour to walk in the unity of the Spirit, which will cause a flow of the oil upon the head. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. Does he need to mend anything in me? Do I need washing? Have I been toiling not on the right side? Has my mouth been running rampant? Have I been prophesying death instead of life? Hopelessness instead of hope? What's coming out of me? Hallelujah. If you want some fresh oil this morning, if you want to see a move in your house, if you want to see unity in your house, all we have to do is say, Lord, mend me. That's you this morning. You just lift up your hands before the Lord. He's here. I'm telling you, he's here. He is here. Mend me. Father, you see our hands raised this morning by the anointing of God. Lord, we say exchange that which is weak for your strength. Cause a grace and a mercy to flow through us. Lord, we say mend that area in my life in Jesus' name. Command a unity in me, in my house, me and our household of the church. And Father, we would see the glory and the anointing of heaven flow like never before. That we can truly be called sons of fresh oil in the name of Jesus. Father, therefore, mend that which needs to be mended with me and my wife. Mend that needs to be mended with me and my house. Mend that needs to be mended with me and the brethren. Mend that which needs to be mended between me and you. I repent. I'm sorry. Change me. And if that's you this morning, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is about to do a new thing. I believe that. But we have to be a people that come before him with clean hands and a pure heart. No schisms, no divisions. It doesn't mean we don't falter. It doesn't mean we don't trip up. And it doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. But we keep short account. The most important thing that is that there's unity of the brethren, unity in the household, that oil can flow. If there's oil, there's healing. I'm going to say it again. If there's oil, there's healing. If there's oil, there's deliverance. Hallelujah. Do you love him? Praise the Lord. I love him to bits. Keep loving on him. Tell him how much you love him. Celebrate him. Thank him. Thank him that he's good enough to give you something to eat in the morning. Amen. Glory to God. Please have a great week. Great weekend. Please stay for some tea and coffee. Right. Then we're going to take the offering up right now, Robbie. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. We're going to take our tithes and offerings as part of our worship before the Lord.